of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you, Father. And Father, we ask that your word would have a power upon it today that will change our challenges, our hearts for you to live our lives for you in the week to come, Father. And Lord, we pray over the children that are in this church this morning that you brought here. We are so thankful for this younger generation of people that you bring in here, Father, that we have an opportunity to give them the word of God, that the word can be planted within their spirit. And Lord, excuse me, Lord, that they can just sense your presence and power as the word is given forward. Anoint Sandra today, Lord, as she guides these young people, Father. Do a supernatural work in their life. Let there be a joy and an excitement within their hearts as they hear and see your word brought before them. And we thank you, Lord, also to the little, if there's any in the nursery this morning, also that the anointing would be up on that nursery, and even the young children in there would sense something different when they come into a place where you are glorified. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. You're dismissed, children, and praise the Lord. Glory to God. All that energy. Who is that that said energy is wasted on the youth? Well, I talked to Dr. Nichols yesterday, and he's excited about being here next week. And he has got some really great stories that have happened. He just got back from Tanzania. There you go. I got her straight now. Tanzania. And he's got some great testimonies. He's going to be sharing how the Lord has moved. He's got one that he told me yesterday about a couple of witch doctors that came to Jesus. He said what was miraculous, that it was the word of God. It was the word of God that brought them in. They literally went forward and said, we want to give our lives to the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's got some really exciting things. And I told him to come in here next week and come in here with anticipation. Come in here with excitement in your spirit. So people, I tell you what, if you know anybody that needs anything in their life, healing, deliverance, whatever it is, have them come next week also. They should be here today too. Amen? Boy, I tell you, it gets quiet in here. We got to be excited. We serve a living God. I'm going to stay excited even if you're not, because I serve a living God. His name is Jesus. And this is the type of church where, as we get, you know, people, as we get faithful and committed to God as a body, we're going to see God move more supernaturally. Because did you know that faith grows faith? And the anticipation gets more and more. If you come in here with anticipation and you share in the service and you be part of the service, it's not about me. See, I can't pump everybody up all week, can I? I can't do anything for you that only Jesus can. It's you and I coming together as the body of Christ that comes together that gets on fire for the Lord. We come encouraging one another. Amen? We come together encouraging one another. We come with anticipation because Jesus is here and anything can happen in this service. And you have to come here Sunday mornings believing that, especially as we see God moving in this body, that he supplied us a building at such a miraculous, supernatural way that he's got great plans for this church. And either we want to be part of it or we don't, amen? We need commitment. I tell you, as we go forward and we see God moving people, we need to let the Lord know that we are totally, you know the song today, surrender all. Do we sincerely surrender all to Jesus? Do we? Are we surrendering everything to Jesus? Our time, our finances, our giftings, are we truly surrendering them, or are we just going and playing church? We can't do that. We want Crossfire to be a church that's going to be on fire for Jesus. Because, see, I believe Jesus heals. I believe Jesus sets free. I believe that Jesus delivers from whatever, from sin, pornography, gambling, whatever it is, swearing, addiction, whatever it is, Jesus delivers, and that's the kind of God I serve. I've watched the Lord do it overseas. I've watched him do it in this country and in Teen Challenge. I watched God many times deliver people who were bound and thought they would never get loose from the power of darkness. And I want this church to be a place when people walk in, they'll sense the power of God. But people, when people come in here, we corporately together need to be praising God. Amen. Not just because I'm telling you to do it. You should do it because the Word of God tells us to do it. God tells us to do it. Why does he want us to praise him? Because he's all powerful. He's the one that gives us the joy. He's the one that gives us the direction in life. He's the one that he's the helper. He's the source of your finances. He's the one that helps you in your relationships. He's the one who helps you in every aspect of your life. He's the one that tells us we can worship and glorify him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A look at encouragement. William Arthur Ward said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." See how powerful encouragement is? Encouragement. See, our words are one of the most powerful weapons that we have. Did you know that, people? What we speak. With just a few words, we can tear a person down and hurt them deeply in their spirits. And in just a few words, we can brighten someone's spirit greatly, and then we can encourage them for their day, their week, or whatever it is, just by what we speak out of our mouth. And when I speak in here about Jesus, those are words of encouragement to be committed to Jesus. That isn't a put down. That's encouragement to you to get involved. Because see, when you come in, did you know, I was telling someone this morning that their presence in the church is an encouragement to somebody else. Did you know that? And when you're not here, you can't encourage anybody. That's why we commit and forsake not our coming together, because when you are here, whether you know it or not, people see you in church, and you may be the one that challenges them to want to be here and to be part of the fellowship. But if you're not here, you have absolutely zero impact on somebody's life. That's why when we serve the Lord, we want to be totally committed. Amen?
Amen.
See, there's people that use the power of the tongue to harm other people. And others use it to build people up. Have you ever met a person who is an encourager? Have you ever met somebody like that? Every time you're around them, they just encourage you. They say things that just give you a lift in your spirit. You ever been around somebody like that? They're fun to be around, aren't they? I've been around people who have always been... I was with a guy, a friend in a church one time in Fargo, North Dakota. And the guy was negative all the time. He never had a positive thing to say. He never encouraged. He was one of those guys that I had to do like this. I had to be the encourager. I had to pump him up so he could inflate himself so he could talk. But anytime he talked, he was never, never positive about anything. And pretty soon, I didn't even care to be around the person because he never changed. He always was, you know, eating oatmeal out of a stovepipe. That's where his chin was. And we don't want to be around people like that. There's a story of a pastor I found in another church who talked about an example of encouragement in the person in his church. He named him even. He said Donnie Merritt was an elder in the Lord's church and had the spiritual gift of encouraging people. He could always see the good in person and would point it out, and they would be encouraged to continue to grow. The pastor said, every time I would preach, Donnie was the first person to greet me, and he would always tell me something that helped him, and he would encourage me to continue to preach. He was one of those people that helped me in my path to getting here. Sometimes the work of the Lord is one of the toughest jobs in the world. Sometimes it's hard because you wonder if you're making a difference in people's lives. And as a pastor right now, I can relate to that. You wonder if people are changing. Donnie would always encourage me that God's word would never come back void and that I helped him. It would have been easy for Donnie to criticize the areas that I messed up on and stuttered and fell over my words. It would have been easy for him to tell me these areas I could improve. But instead, he found areas to encourage me, and I will always remember him as the encourager in the church. That's the way it should be in the body of Christ. Whether you're a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a help or doing work out in the yard or cleaning the toilets out or cleaning the bugs off the walls or whatever it is, we encourage the body of Christ, don't we? Because all together we make up the body and we all have a work and a job to do. I thought it was good. Even the Lord encourages people and wanted encouragement. Look at Moses in Deuteronomy 3:28. He said, but charge Joshua. This is before they were going to cross the Jordan. Moses couldn't go into the Jordan. He couldn't go. So God said, because God wouldn't let him, but God told him to encourage Joshua. He said, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Joshua was going to need some encouragement, because all those millions of people that Moses was in charge of were going to be under Joshua's leadership once they crossed the Jordan into the good land, the promised land. And he needed encouragement. And God told Moses, you encourage him. Perhaps you know a person has helped to bring you where you are today. Can you think of a person in your life right now that has encouraged you to walk with the Lord and times when you wanted to give up and maybe they came alongside and they just encouraged you? Can you think of somebody like that in your life? I can think of people in my life, Christians in the church who would come along and encourage you to keep on keeping on. Throughout the week, we can all have things that tear us down and upset us. We live in a fallen world, don't we? It's a fallen world in which we daily have to come in contact with sin and other things that they can discourage us in our faith. We can look at our world around today, and you can become very discouraged, can't you, with all the things that are happening in the world today. If you keep focused on that continually, you will be discouraged. You're going to be really discouraged. Then you come to church Sunday hoping for encouragement. You hope to be built up from the encouragement of God's people, but instead, sometimes you hear people complaining about the things they don't like in church. You hear people gossiping about other people, and you hear people who show no joy of being in Christ. But that's not in this church, by the way. Crossfire's on fire for Jesus. We got Holy Ghost-filled people in this body. We got a nucleus of people that's going to set Coon Rapids and Anoka on fire and the surrounding metro area. And you keep your hearts fixed on Jesus, because God's got a plan and a purpose to use you in the communities that you live and I live in as we stay faithful to his word. Amen? Amen. See, the church is supposed to be a place for the hurting and for people to find encouragement when they walk in here. You'll never know where a person has been and what has happened to them throughout the week. And one discouraging word may seem harmless to you, but it may be detrimental to the faith of a brother or sister in Christ. Because there's things that happens in our lives during the week that we don't know about in each other's lives, right? There's people who die in our life, loved ones who pass away, and we don't maybe know about it. Somebody just shared me with one today. Rod, his dad died this past week. And which naturally I wasn't aware of it. But you see, there's things that happen in our lives. And our prayers, by the way, Rod and Pat, are with you and your family through this time, because it's always hard, no matter, even though they lived a long life, it's always hard to lose somebody you love. And so our prayers are with you and your family as you travel to Iowa this week for that funeral. But we thank God that his dad, he said, was ready to go. And we're excited about that. He had that reunion with his wife. And so we're excited about that. But you see, if we come to church, people, and we don't have an encouraging spirit within ourselves, and we only can see the negative or the critical things that we can always find critical things about people and circumstances, can't we? We always can. But if we come to church and we have a spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us, and we're looking around and say, God, how can you use my life today? And maybe it can be a smile on your face. Maybe you can find somebody you can can encourage just by smiling at them, encouraging smile, even though that maybe a critical thought may have popped into your mind, but you change it around and you smile at someone or you greet them or say something to them. That's where God wants the body of Christ. And that's where we, you and I, can become on fire for the Lord when we think Jesus' thoughts. Amen. We think Jesus' thoughts. Amen? Amen. And hopefully this morning when we take a closer look at encouragement, where we can find it and how we can give it. Let's never overlook the importance of encouragement. Keep that word in your thoughts, encouragement. It's always easy to criticize, but keep encouragement in your heart. If you're here today and you need encouragement, then I hope that within this message you're going to find a way to encourage and build up your faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." That's encouraging one another. So much the more as you see the days approaching, and the days are approaching. Jesus is coming. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. The sound of the trumpet and the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be gone. And it's coming, it's approaching, and we're to exhort one another. But if you're not here, we can't exhort you. If you forsake coming to church on a Sunday morning, we can't encourage you. Did you know that? You can't encourage anyone if you're not here. But did you know you even encourage your neighbor when you come to church, the lost neighbor that lives next door to you? Because, see, they got their big curtain in their living room, and you may not see it or they're blinds. And every time your car drives out of your garage or you walk out to your car with your Bible out there, there's those little blinds that are opening up like that, and there they go to church. There goes those religious fanatics. I wish I was one. You're encouraging somebody, drawing people toward Jesus when you and I are faithful to God as we come to church. As we come to church, we do it for the Lord, not for us or for the pastor or anybody else. We come here committed to show the Lord that we truly love Him. People, we are in a fallen world. How many hours during the week? Quite a few, aren't we? And God gives us the time for an hour or two to come to church together to encourage one another for 2 hours on a Sunday. We need to do that. We need to do that. You say, "Pastor, why are you harping on that today?" Well, for one thing, I'm not harping. I don't know how to play one. But I tell you what, the reason I'm saying is because I see what's happening within the body of Christ today. And I want Crossfire Church to be a committed church for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe God is supernaturally going to move through this body and this people and this body. I really believe that. Because we are preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord. And I believe God is going to do some supernatural great things in the lives of His people shortly before it comes. I believe that. I believe the power is going to be turned up in the lives of those that are committed within the remnant body today. It's happening. It's already started, to be real honest with you. Listen to Dr. Nichols when he comes and hear what he's got to say. He's got some exciting things to tell you. How God is moving. Encouraging by faith. One way to encourage people in their faith is to have great faith in your own life. In your own life, great faith. It says in Matthew 8:10, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them," this is the scripture talking about the centurion that needed his servant healed, but he even told Jesus, "You don't even need to come to my house. I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. You can speak the word where you're standing and my servant's going to be healed." He says, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." See, God sees faith. He sees faith. He sees when you and I, when our faith is put into action, and Jesus is encouraged by your and my faith. He's encouraged to see it, and he was encouraged by the centurion who was a commander of troops and everything, and he was encouraged to see this man say, "You don't even have to come. You speak the word, and my servant, he's going to be all right." Boy, the Lord likes that. He was encouraged by that. There's nothing that encourages and builds up more than seeing other people living out their life in faithfulness to the Lord. Did you know that? That encourages me as a pastor. when I see people living out their life in faith and being committed to the Lord, even against all odds sometimes. But other people recognize it too. Again, your neighbors recognize, your co-workers recognize your faith when it's put into action. When they're knowing you're having a tough day and how you react to them, your mannerisms and everything, they're watching every aspect of your and my life. And we can encourage them in the faith or we can become like them. But we want to be encouragers because we have hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we can always, no matter how tough life gets, we can still respond to people in the manner that Jesus would respond to them. Remember when he hung on the cross? Remember when he actually hung on the cross? He looked down and says, Father, forgive them. That's the way we are to be. We're to forgive people when they hurt us, when they say horrible things or they treat us, they ignore us. And those things hurt. I understand those things. They affect me too. But we got to keep the word of God in our hearts and keep that word encouragement within us to realize that no matter what, this isn't forever, Lord. This job isn't forever. This circumstance isn't forever. So, Lord, I'm going to, with your help, be an encourager today. And I'm going to treat somebody nice that treated me awful. Because once we treat them awful, we become like them instead of coming like Jesus. Amen? Amen? In the early church, many Christians had certain spiritual gifts that were given to them by the laying on the hands by the apostles. And it's another reason for the spiritual gifts in the first century was that other Christians might be encouraged in their faith by the awesome demonstration of God's power. How many in here are hungry to say, Lord, show up, I need you, show up in other people's lives and my family? Are you hungry for that? Are you on fire for it? Do you desire it? Do you want to see the God that we serve literally move supernaturally within this body in a way that you never thought would be possible? Well, he can and he wants to. And sometimes he waits up on you and I because he wants us to get to the point where our faith is like that centurion soldier's. There where the anticipation is right there and say, God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is going to happen in my life, in someone else's life right now, and I'm going to watch it happen. You know, God is right now moving amongst the chairs within this building by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's moving supernaturally. He is available 24 hours a day at the moment, at the second. Your faith is where it belongs. You watch something supernatural work in your life. That's the God I serve. That's the God that I want to see in the days that we live right now, to see the power of God. See, that's the only thing the world respects anyway, is power. And we serve a God with power. He's a God with power. They make fun of this God, this Lord I serve, but he's a God with power. He's the mighty God. He's the creator God. And there's nothing in your life or my life that the Lord cannot change or fix within our life. And the world needs to see that. And you know, sometimes that's just the power of being able to smile when you've gone through a hard time and somebody knows it or sees it in your life. They see it. That's the power of God moving through you. The Holy Ghost that lives in you is giving you the ability to smile, even though inside you're in turmoil, there's still a peace that comes out and the world sees a smile and you're saying, Lord, help me. I don't know if I can make it another hour. But God helps you to make it another hour. And he's the one that puts the smile. Did you know that sometimes there's a smile on your face and you don't even know it when you want the God's will in your life? Did you know that sometimes you can be sitting in a situation and you don't even realize that somebody's looking at you and they're seeing peace? They're seeing comfort in turmoil. And you don't even know it. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't let us know when he's using our life. But that's why it's important to stay in the Word, stay close to Jesus, and let him move and work through you. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, "For I long to see you." This is Paul speaking in Rome. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established or strengthened. That is what I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." See, that encouraged Paul, their faith also. Their faith. One of the best ways to be an encouragement to the body of believers is simply live your life faithfully to Jesus. Did you know that? When you come to church, be faithful to Jesus. Be faithful to Jesus. Somebody is watching you and somebody is being encouraged by you being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're encouraged by it. As people see your growth and zeal for the Lord, they're going to be encouraged. You ever have somebody within the church that's on fire for the Lord and they just have a passion and a love for God? Doesn't that encourage your life to say, Lord, I want to be like that person? Well, you don't want to be like the person. You want to be like Jesus, because that person might backslide. But as what I'm saying, as that person is worshiping God, the reason they're doing it is because the Holy Spirit is moving through them. And you say, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit moving through me. I want to have the depth of that worship that that person seemingly has. That's where we should be. That encourages somebody next to you. That encourages them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have a fire in your heart for Jesus, it's going to spread over other people, and there will be people coming out to watch you burn. Did you know that? When you got a fire in your spirit, in your heart for the love of God and for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him, other people want to be around you. They want to see, how is God going to use my brother or sister? Because they're so on fire for God, anything can happen. And you want to be close in case it happens. Hallelujah. See, I believe Jesus is going to do something. But it takes work, people. It takes work to be an encourager. It just doesn't come easily for us. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. And even perhaps sometimes you don't realize the encouragement that you can bring to people. But your faithfulness to the church and God's word, it's going to encourage their faith too. Philippians 1:14 says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's life of faithfulness was an encouragement to the whole church in the first century. His life encouraged them. First people were encouraged by the great demonstration of the grace of God of changing the one who persecuted the church. And many were persecuted by him into the one who is the main preacher to the Gentiles now. Then Paul's suffering for Christ became an encouragement to the church. Not because they were encouraged that he was in pain, but they were encouraged at his faithfulness to preaching the gospel despite opposition. They were encouraged by that. And did you know many times the church is on fire, the best is when it's under persecution. The church grows when it's under persecution. It is not that we love persecution, but I tell you what, people get on fire. You can tell the ones that are on fire for God when persecution hits. And that's what happened to Paul. In all the opposition that he did, he preached the word of God without fear, and people were drawn to him because of his faithfulness to the Lord. He still preached the word when he was told not to. He still did it and encouraged the other saints. And they became on fire for the Lord too. Again, another reason to live your life faithfully to Jesus is so that others might be encouraged and built up to live faithfully to Jesus. When I am faithful living for Jesus, my brothers and sisters that I'm around are going to be faithful for living for Jesus still. If they're looking at me, hopefully, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say, follow me as I follow Christ? Can you literally say that to somebody? Can I literally, honestly say that to somebody else? You follow me as I follow Christ. I don't know. Should I even be saying that like Paul did? But if you're going to say, well, I don't want them following me because I got issues in my life, and it's not very encouraging, then we need to get it right with the Lord, don't we? Maybe we need to change things as the Holy Spirit says to us, you need to change the way of life in order for me to move supernaturally and for your life to have an impact into somebody else's. And then you have encouragement by Scripture. When I'm down and discouraged, my favorite place to go is where? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. There's nothing more encouraging and uplifting than the Scriptures. It's amazing, no matter what your need and no matter what you read, if you're seeking help and guidance from God's word, you're going to be encouraged by what you need. See, the answer, you're in my life, whether you believe it or not, is in this book. Everything in my life that needs an answer is in this book. And we miss it sometimes because we're not giving God the time to allow him to speak through us through his word. And this word is powerful. This word is powerful because this came from heaven. And it's got an answer for every minute detail of our life. And sure, there's areas that God didn't spell it out word for word, but it's in there. It may come through another avenue of the Word of God, how it affects you in my life, but God's Word is in there. And the Bible says, by every word. Not by bread alone, but by every word. Amen? There's no other book that has the power to affect your life. And people, I just want to let you know, Islam is not, they call it the Holy Quran. It is not the Holy Quran. This is the Holy Bible. This is a loving God in this Bible. The Holy Quran is not a Holy Quran. It's just a book written by a man. But this is a holy God that created the universe and his love for his creation. He loves us. He didn't come to kill us. He came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. The Quran is just the opposite. They come to give death if you don't believe in their ideology. It's not even a religion. But this book, the Bible, can change you and I for all eternity because it's the Word of God. God's Word is life-changing and it's transforming. And I love the spiritual encouragement that we can find in God's Word. It says in Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." It's there. As we do it, did you hear that? Did you hear that, people? Through patience and comfort. Through patience and comfort. When you read it, you may not get the inspiration and the idea yet, but the Holy Spirit is going to move upon you. If you're patient with the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit takes you through the Word, you're going to have hope. It's going to manifest in your life, in your circumstances, your situation of life. Amen. See, I believe the one reason why God revealed His Word to us is for our encouragement and our faith. Praise the Lord. Without Scripture, we would not know about God and how we are to live our lives. But the Scripture gives us clear examples of people living faithful to God despite opposition. We can read the factual events of people's lives in Scripture to help you and I to realize if they made it, we can make it. And you know what's exciting about the Word of God? It wasn't kings and queens and people up in high offices. It was common folk like you and I that just had normal ways of life that the Holy Spirit moved through and the power of God moved. And He put their experiences of life within here so we could relate to that too and understand that He is truly a loving God who desires to encourage us through His Word. So in order for us to make it through life. See, they had real struggles. They dealt with the same sins and they dealt with the same issues in life that you and I deal with today. They may be different times that we live in, but they were still human beings that dealt with depression. They dealt with hate. They dealt with sins of all types. They dealt with relational problems. They dealt with financial problems. They dealt with all the same thing. But every place I read in the Scripture, every one of them were set free and delivered and their needs were met. Because God says, many are the trials and tribulations of the righteous, but my God delivers us from all of them. Yes. All of them! Amen. Now that's encouraging. It isn't going to be forever. Don't let that bug you, by the way. See, the Bible encourages me because it was written on a level in ways that we can relate to, not just the scholarly and the elite. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Encourage. That's what we do. As God encourages our hearts, we encourage other people around us. As Paul writes to Timothy, he assumes that through the preaching of the word, encouragement comes as a result. And that's what it does when you preach the word of God. And people, a lot of preachers today are saying, well, I can't preach on sin, and I can't preach on speaking in tongues, and I can't preach on this because that'll be offensive to people. No, when you preach on those things, it's encouraging to people. Did you know that? Yeah. If I preach on somebody sitting in here and you're hooked on pornography, that's not being negative, that's being encouraging to let you know that there's hope, that God can deliver you from pornography, that you do not have to walk through your whole life hooked on pornography. But there's a God in heaven, His name is Jesus, and He has the power to deliver us. Yes. Amen? Amen? That's why it's exciting, that's why the Word of God is encouraging. Hallelujah. I like it. See, within God's Word is power. that words cannot describe. No other book, no other so-called religious book in the world can say what Hebrews 4:12 does. No other book. Not even the Quran can't do it. But here it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think of the power of God's word, people. When you and I live in that word, when we take that word to our lives and we have it, it goes into the depth of our very being. Even you sitting in here this morning, you don't even know all about yourself. You don't even know what you're capable of. You don't know what you're capable of not doing, but the Holy Spirit does, because when you take the word of God and you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do surgery within your heart, he will open up to you and say, this is an area, this is why you're dealing with the things you're dealing with in life. This is why you got to get it under the blood. This is why you got to commit it to me. This is why you got to get in the word. This is why, because it's here. And the Holy Spirit will reveal the depth of your heart in order for you to become the person he wants, and he encourages us, letting us know that his word can do that. His word can do that. No other book in the world, but God's word can, when it's taken in faith. See, as we get discouraged as well throughout the week, if we turn to God's word, we can find an encouragement from the scriptures that will build us up and lift us up out of the tough situations that this world might throw us. And you go into the Psalms. When you read the Psalms, boy, the Psalms, isn't that an encouraging book? If you want quick encouragement, just go right to the Psalms right now. There's plenty of places, but that one always encourages me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Proverbs for wisdom. I love the Proverbs too. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. People, you got to quit living on your own word. You got to start living on God's word. Don't speak the world. Don't speak the devil's word. Speak God's word. If you don't feel good, you don't need to walk around and tell 1,400 people that I got a sore throat. It's what you need to walk around and do and say to yourself and say that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. By Jesus' stripes I am healed. You say, wait, that's lying. But no, it's not. By Jesus' stripes you are healed. The manifestation needs to take place, but the word of God tells me we are healed. And people, I think we've been duped for many, many years. I think even God's people have been duped. We're so quick to run to the doctor. We're so quick to run to the world. We don't even give this God a chance to do what he says he's already done for us. Amen? Amen? Yeah. It's good to go to him first. Go to the healer first. Amen. Go to the great physician first, but still use wisdom. Because I know that God in our world today does use doctors and everything and medications. But I tell you, let's give Jesus first shot. Yeah. And even when you walk away from the doctor, you can still walk around and say that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. You can still do that because it's the word of God. I live by it. I live by it. And it will manifest in my life. See, God's word is the greatest source of encouragement that there is. And so often we neglect it. We neglect it, especially when we're down. Why do we push this aside when we're down? Why do we do that? This is the place we need to go when we're down, is into the Word of God for the encouragement we need. Amen? 1 Samuel 36:30 says, and David was greatly distressed. David was greatly distressed, not just distressed. This man was down. He was distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We need to take that as an example right there. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't walk around saying, oh, poor is me, somebody help me. He didn't do that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. This man was in trouble at this point in life, but God encouraged him as he sought God himself, and he encouraged himself in the things of God. We need to remember that too, people, because sometimes people aren't going to be around that can encourage us. Did you know that? You and I aren't going to be around forever. And we got to realize that there's only one that will never leave us nor forsake us, and his name is Jesus. And when you need help and when you need encouragement, you need to run to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, I give you 100% guarantee that if when you are down, you come to God's word openly and seeking help, you will find the encouragement that you need. It's in there. It's in the book. Hallelujah. One of the best ways to be encouraged is to seek out the promises of God, by the way, too. Did you know that? I like this song, "Standing on the Promises That Cannot Fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God." Do you know that song, Amy? You were afraid I was going to have you come up and sing it and play it, weren't you? And then we're encouraged by deeds, as we can be encouraged by the good deeds of our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's many times in Scripture when Paul speaks of encouragement he has received because of the good deeds of other Christians. There are many brothers and sisters with great needs, and we are called to carry their burdens for them sometimes, aren't we? It says in Philemon 1:7, "For we have a great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." I like that. Part of Paul's strength came from hearing encouraging reports, such as Philemon. The Philemon was an encouragement to the saints that were in Colossae. They were encouragement. Crossfire Church should be an encouragement for anybody that comes and sits in this church that's a visitor. They should be an encouragement. And I believe you people are. I hear people all the time saying, "What a loving church. This church is encouraging people," and I thank God that we stay on that track. Let's not allow the devil to come in and bring separation and bring heartache and differences that will destroy a church within, because God wants to use us as the body of Christ. Amen? I want to encourage you with that. It's always easy to find the negative. It's always going to be there in this sinful, fallen world. But I tell you, it takes a man of God, a woman of God, to always be ready to encourage somebody. And did you know that when visitors come in here, they know it? They sense it. If you listen to them, they say, "Boy, when I walked in there, I just sensed something different in that church. There was such a loving spirit from the people. I felt accepted." That's encouragement, isn't it? Hallelujah. I believe one of Satan's greatest weapons is wounding people. I believe that Satan, he's done. He's wounded many people, and by doing that, the church needs to be there to come alongside those people who have been wounded. How many people have left churches because they've been wounded by people within the church? See, Satan works through the body of Christ sometimes, too, when we allow him to. There are people broken and with great needs, but we're called to bear their burdens. We're called to do it. Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good." Did you hear that? Who went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good. Jesus didn't go around destroying people's lives because they disagreed with him. Jesus went around forgiving people when they disagreed with him even. But he never went around to harm people, to cut people's heads off. He went around doing good. That's what he did. How Jesus went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Are you oppressed today? Jesus still is doing the same work as he did as he walked the earth right now. He will bring deliverance into your life and my life. He is here. He's here. I want to encourage you with that. Jesus never leaves us. He's always here. See, Jesus was the ultimate doer of good deeds, and he went around doing good for others. And you can be sure that people's faith was encouraged because of the good Jesus did. Jesus encouraged people, and we can do good to others, whatever that might be in ourselves. When we see something that we can do, we do it for the glory of God. One time I was in Des Moines, Iowa, and I was calling on customers there, and I drove in a parking lot, and there was a man there, and his car wouldn't start in the parking lot. So I drove over there because I had a set of battery cables in my vehicle, and I drove over there and I helped him start his vehicle. And I told him, I said, "I did this in the name of Jesus. I wanted to know why I did it, because otherwise I could have cared less about the guy. But you know something? God put it in my heart and said, go and help that guy. And so I let him know that the reason I helped start your car is because Jesus wanted me to do it, because he cares about you. I got a charge out of that. I know, somebody want to give me a salt and battery here. I know, but. And they were encouraged by words, aren't we? We're encouraged by words. Our tongues, they're extremely powerful weapons that we have. Did you know that? I could say things that could bring people down so fast that it's unbelievable. I could tear them down and bring heartache to them just by a few little words out of my mouth. And you could too. With it, we can lift up somebody's faith. Did you know that? If you know somebody's in church today and they're just going through a tough, difficult time in their life, and you just sense in your spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit said to you, go speak into their life right now. You can walk over to them and say, sister, brother, you're going to make it. I just sense that you're struggling really hard today, and I believe that Jesus can lift you up right now, and you are going to make it, because you can be more than a conqueror through Christ who lives in you. And you're going to have the victory. And that person, you may make their day, their month for that little bit of encouragement. And that's why our words are so powerful. Have you ever been discouraged by words of a fellow Christian? Have you ever been discouraged by a fellow Christian? I have. It's tough, isn't it? It's tougher when it comes from a brother or sister in Christ, when it's spoken into your life. It's been said that some of the meanest and rudest people are in the church. That's a sad statement, isn't it? Sad statement. It's been said that most waitresses hate to work on Sundays because the people that come from church are the rudest people. Did you know that? I sat in a situation with a brother and sister in Christ one time for a meal, and they were the rudest people to that waitress. They couldn't have won her to the Lord for nothing, because they thought that they should be served properly. And did you know that waitresses, they go through the heartache and the trouble and hating their jobs, hating that customer that's rude to them, and they got this anger built up, and you're the next one that comes and sits down. Now you can either be like the other people who are rude and not nice, or you can be the person who can speak into that waitress's life and just be soft-spoken to her and encouraging to her and not demanding to her. And even if she's rude to you, you can repay with goodness of heart. We've done that. We've done that. We've done that with waitresses, where we watch them literally weep at our table because they get beat up terribly. Whether you're a waitress in a job or sitting in an office, it doesn't really make any difference. It's Christian people, how do we respond to other people? We can be an encourager or a discourager to them. It is a shame that so many people take that which could be used for good and use it to tear down. Before you speak, if it's a negative thing, stop and think, does it really need to be said? But maybe sometimes you need to bring correction into somebody's life, and you ask the Holy Spirit, how can I do this without discouraging them but encouraging them? You ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Sometimes it's the way you speak it, your mannerism, or even the way you put your words together. It can be either discouraging or encouraging to help somebody in life. See, words have an impact on people's life. And that's why it's so important for us to be careful what we say and how we say it to them. Maybe we do not know how our words will fall on other people, but our words can seriously hurt someone or seriously help someone too, just by what we say and how we say it. And I want to encourage you not to look at people with a critical eye, looking for an area to tear down, but look with encouraging eye, thinking of something to say that will build their faith. Because some people can be obnoxious, can't they? You ever come across people like that? They're just right down obnoxious. And the first thing you can think of a critical thought, or you can say, is there a way, Lord, that you can use that obnoxious person? You need the Holy Spirit, brother. You need the Holy Spirit to speak into that person's life, because you know something? God created the obnoxious person. And sometimes God uses the obnoxious person to chip some chips off our shoulders. It's just like last night, I bought a bag of ice and brought it home for my wife. And I put it up on my shoulder and I told her, I'm giving you the cold shoulder tonight. I just had to throw that in. That wasn't in my notes here. I thought it was kind of witty though. Acts chapter 15, 30, 32, and I'm getting close to the end here, brothers and sisters, at least another hour here. Acts 15, verses 30, 32. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted to the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Did you hear that? They exhorted with many words. So don't point fingers at me that I talk too much. Look what they did with many words and confirmed them even through the power of the working of God. But see, that's how we encourage each person through this, what it says in here. That's how we encourage people. If somebody says, gets up to you, or they talk to you at work or school or the neighborhood, say, man, what a rotten day it is out today. It's cold and rainy. It's just nasty out. You can say, I understand that, but you know something? Above the clouds, the sun is shining. It's warm and it's beautiful. And look at the green grass and look at the water that God has given the ground so that the farmers have moisture for the seed to grow in the spring. You can encourage somebody like that. They'll say, I never thought about that. But see, there's ways we can do it. If a person never feels encouraged or that people are grateful, they will not want to do the work of the Lord either. Did you know that? If people are in the church and they're doing work and they never ever hear a word of encouragement, even if we don't, I'm still going to serve the Lord. But if the person that works in the church and they never hear of encouragement from other people, it's going to lessen their desire to want to serve the Lord. Did you know that? It will. That's why you and I need to encourage one another. I thank the Lord for every person in this church, every one of you, and how God is using you and will be using you. Because we're all important to the kingdom of God when we allow God to move through our lives. And nothing goes unseen by the Father. Did you know that? Nothing, even the smallest little thing, if you pick a paperclip off the carpet because it shouldn't be there, God sees you picking it up because you do it for the glory of God. That's why we do it, people. I want to encourage you with that. We should never leave church discouraged. We shouldn't leave church discouraged. No matter how long the service goes, don't leave discouraged. You could be in Syria or Iraq, but you're sitting at Crossfire and you might have to go 20 minutes longer with me because I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to give you the message, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The church should be a place where the hurting and the burden, the discouraged and the broken can find healing and encouragement. And what are you doing to help the process? Are you waiting, expecting others to do the encouraging? Or do we do the encouraging ourselves by faith? See, the ultimate encouragement comes from Paul's words to the Thessalonians regarding the second coming of Jesus. Get excited now. I want you to get excited here. Because you know this scripture, but I want you to be excited because it's going to happen soon. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What an incredible scene that's going to be. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to fly, people. We're going to go. It's going to be so quick we won't even realize it probably. To meet the Lord in the air. Can you imagine that? the one who died on Calvary's cross. It's going to happen soon. We're going to be standing before him to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. No more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more weakness, no more depression, no more discouragement. Nothing. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity when he blows that trumpet and says, come home, church. It's time. Doesn't that encourage you and build you up? See, nothing in this world is forever. Jesus is coming. If you're going through a hard time, Jesus is coming. He said, encourage one another with those words. See, we don't serve a dead God that's buried where you can dig his bones up. This God is standing on the right hand of God, waiting for the command to get the church. He's alive. The tomb is empty. Over 500 people witnessed it. It's not a fairy tale. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, please. I'm excited. I'm excited. We can be encouragers, people. Even if you're down today. The world is it's hard sometimes, the world is. And we can get discouraged pretty easily, can't we? There's many within the body today that are very, very discouraged. They're very discouraged. And perhaps some have been discouraged over the years from doing the work of the Lord, and you think it's in vain, but people, it's not in vain. Anything you do for the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. Maybe you're broken by sin, and maybe you're broken because of the family situations or work or problems. It says in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's all bow our heads, please. See, Jesus wants to take those burdens if you'll come to him. And this morning, I'm going to do something different. If you need encouragement or you're carrying burdens, whatever it is, and you just say, Lord, I need prayer. I need encouragement. I want you to come down and stand in the front. I want you to come down here as a point of contact, like you're not coming to me. You're coming to Jesus. And you're coming as the brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to walk down here as a step of your faith. Don't hold back. You won't see God move if you hold back, people. I want to encourage you. I get to see people, and people hold back when they need to come forward. It isn't for me. See, Jesus wants to take those burdens. And perhaps today you're discouraged by other sins. But I want to encourage you, people, to press on. And there's no encouragement like life sold out to Jesus for you and those around us, people. Let people see your faith in action. I'm going to pray right now, and I like the leaders, or some, you guys are up here already. Look, you're already ahead of me. Just, I want others that if you just have a sense in your heart to lay hands on somebody too, you come up here and do it in ladies on ladies and men on men here preferably, and if we can do that, and we're going to say a prayer together as the body of Christ right now. And but first off, I just want to say, if you're in here this morning and you've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, well, I want to know that Jesus that's living. And Jesus said, you must be born again before we could even enter heaven. And the way to do that is through repentance, being born of the water and the Spirit. Our spirits are dead to God until the Holy Ghost comes and lives within us. And we do that by faith. And with nobody looking around, is there anybody in here this morning said, I don't know if I died today or I got killed or Jesus comes, if I'd even go to heaven? Is there anybody in here say, I'd like to give my life to Jesus? I need that encouragement of an eternal heaven. Is there anybody here this morning? Heavenly Father, you see your people standing up here that walk forward this morning. There's diverse issues and problems in their life. And some are standing up here and they're discouraged by life circumstances, by whether it's finances or illness or relationship or just maybe being ignored or seemingly nobody cares about them. Father, they're up here for multiple reasons. But you already know. And you're already reading their hearts. And you're already telling them that you are the God of the impossible. And that you don't miss them one bit. They're, in your eyes, they're beautifully and wonderfully made because they're in your image. And Father, you brought them into Crossfire this morning for a purpose and a reason. And Lord, you want them to know that you love them, that you care for them. And if there's sin in their lives, Father, your desire for them is to repent and get them out of their lives so that you can just let them sense your presence and power this morning. And Lord, I would pray that you would put a spirit of encouragement on every person standing up here this morning, that when they leave the service today, even though they don't feel it, Lord, it's going to be a faith thing. And throughout their day and this coming week, they're going to be encouraged in their heart because they know there's hope. Because, Lord, you're a living God. You're alive here today, and you're ready to minister into the hearts and lives of the people. So I speak in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. Move supernaturally upon these people right now. And Lord, deliver any that need deliverance. Meet the needs of those who have needs of being met. And those that need healing in their bodies, let that healing manifest. If their spirit is downtrodden, Lord, put the joy of the Lord upon them. For that is their strength according to your word. Lord, put a joy. Put a joy that the world would never understand, and let them sense your presence and power. And I speak it in Jesus' name. I speak it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I speak it in Jesus' name. I speak it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, let your Holy Spirit move through these people right now, Lord. They've been hurt. There's somebody up here standing here this morning, Lord, that they've been hurt. They've been rejected. And Lord, you want to speak into their hearts and saying, I know what it's like. The whole world rejected me. But Jesus wants you to know that you're to look to him right now, the author and finisher of faith. And he wants somebody in here that's focused more on the world than they are on the word. And not to be fearful anymore about the things that are happening in your life, because Jesus said, I've overcome the world, and not to fear. Not to be fearful. And there's somebody in here say, I just don't have a spirit of hope anymore. The Lord wants you to draw near to him because he says Christ in you is the hope of glory. It isn't a feeling thing, it's a faith thing. The Lord wants each person here to know that don't stand up here by your feelings. Come here by your faith, because it's your faith that pleases me, because now I know you're trusting me and not trusting in your circumstances. It's faith. Faith in a never-failing God who died, who came all the way from heaven and hung on a cross. Because he saw the heartache, he saw the pain, and he saw the suffering, and he saw the rejection that this sinful world has. And he says, I come to deliver you. And so I pray that every person standing forth this morning up front here, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We glorify you in advance, Heavenly Father, for what you're doing and will be doing this week in the hearts of your people. And now, Lord, I pray over every family in this church that you will supernaturally continue to convict our hearts and lives, to live holy lives for you, to be witnesses, to be light, to be salt this week. And Lord, prepare our hearts for next week when we come back as the body, Lord. For Lord, you're going to be moving in a supernatural way as you are right now, Lord. You're doing work that only you can see and only you can know. And so, Lord, we're excited about you, Father. We're excited about you, Father. And so now, Lord, we leave this and we commit all of our care up on you right now. We cast it. We throw it up on you, Lord. For you said you care for us. You care for every human being. And those that person standing up here think, I'm a nobody. I've been told that in my life, I'm a nobody. But Lord, you said he's a somebody. You created him. You created her. There's somebody in the kingdom of God for all eternity. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.